Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. It's a great.
You are listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Yeah, man. We all love to hear the good news, so we all should rush to hear the good news. But we can just find the good news.
NSTN, NSTN, News for the Soul at the very best. NSTN, NSTN, News for the Soul at the very best. NSTN, NSTN, News for the Soul at the very best.
Yeah, man, just log on to www.newsforthesoul.com. Can you hear me?
We are a life-changing talk radio. We give you good news to keep you on the go. And you can also share the good news, you know. And that's the way we keep in the flow. We only focus on the positive things, yeah. We only focus on the positive things, yeah. We not go put none of the negative in there. We not go put none of the negative in there. NFTN, NFTN, News for the Soul at the very best. NFTN, NFTN, News for the Soul at the very best.
Log on to www.newsforthesoul.com. Every time. Come hear the good news. Share the good news. And we all feeling good for the good news.
You are listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. News for your soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997. The News for the Soul Radio Network airs daily, and our archives are always totally free. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
All right, we are live. Next up, it's time for Super Soul Solutions. Let's bring her on to introduce herself, her show, and what's up for today. Marilee, welcome back.
Hi, Nicole. We're still trying to get Scott on the line. Hold on just a sec, you guys. And he said, I tried calling the number on my landline and cell phone, say the number cannot be completed as dialed. So we want to make sure that he's on waiting. So hold on a minute, okay?
All right. Well, we can you can dive in there and I can do some techie stuff in the background here.
Okay. So, yeah, his landline's 949. You know his landline, right?
Yeah, I've got it.
And then
yeah.
He'll... Okay. All right, hon. So I'll start with everybody and we'll be on. Okay. Hey, guys. Thanks for your patience. And thanks for tuning in to the Super Soul Solutions show today entitled Life from the Perspective of the Soul or Atma. Atma is the term that Scott Lemieux will describe is the term used on all higher worlds off planet for soul. So that's the word he will be using. Okay, and also how to discover and recover forgotten Atma abilities and memories with Scott Lemriel. So most of you out there, I know, are aware that this is the time for awakening on this planet. And I'm really impassioned about us awakening our true nature and especially our abilities as an Atma, which also means an atom of creator. And I feel very blessed to have Scott return for our third show together to answer some, shall we say, advanced questions regarding the true nature of the Atma soul. And at the end, he will also introduce, again, taking you through the simple and easy technique that he has on the other shows that sends out the special consciousness awakening vibratory word that has been given to us now as a gift from the Creator. So also with that comes a certain protection with this word. And the Creator's new ray blended in this omnipresent original sound behind and supporting all creation assists us to awaken so that we can have our own wondrous direct experiences of our soul's multidimensionality, which I am all about. This should be lots of fun. I realize more and more that I cannot expect Bummer to be lazy and become liberated and super conscious knowing my Atma. So, however, I am attracted to this technique because it doesn't have to be hard. It's not hard, and it only takes just a very small amount of dedicated time a day and sincerity. That's it. And I realize that many of you are just inundated, like we all are, who study in all these fields and have a curiosity. You're already doing techniques for your health and awareness, and there are so many to choose from. So for me, having a parallel life as a spiritual scientist, the use of color light is in the new ray brought forth from Creator in 2012, and the use of the Creator's first primordial sound and frequency is simple enough to utilize it both from a quantum field perspective and from what I know deep inside. So I'm digging that the technique Scott has brought forward on Earth is both simple and does not take much time. Thank you very much. However, it does take sincerity. So, as you know, my last show was about fourth phase water. This is not about fourth phase water. But before I introduce Scott, I wanted to keep my word and answer several people's requests at the end of the last show I did on the unique properties of fourth phase water, especially regarding fourth phase water telepathic capacities to connect with higher worlds. So I re-listened to some of Scott's other videos, and he responded, quote, and I'm going to give you a direct quote, "People consciously knowing what they truly are, that is not and never has been just a physical body, is crucial to the optimal telepathic channels that can be activated when drinking fourth phase water." All right, so everything he teaches, everything that I'm learning, is that we need to really activate our direct knowingness of our Atma so that we can get our abilities fully online the way we were initially created by Source. So for us to get the highest, most positive experience and outcome of this life, and to regain our free will and true freedom as a Atma soul consciously, we must have awakened awareness directly involved in the process. And that is exactly why I brought what I call, he won't like to call this, but Atma soul expert Scott Lemriel to be on my shows, because really what is more important than specifically learning how to awaken our awareness, period. And the unprecedented gift from Prime Creator blending this primordial sound and new ray for our awakening and remembering. So this show will be me directing advanced questions about the Atma soul that I have not heard anywhere else publicly. In a month, I will be dedicating the entire show for Scott to lead us on a long journey, taking up almost a whole hour, as a direct experience guide where you will meet your true self as an Atma. You will meet benevolent advanced beings that are assisting us to awaken right now with your free will agreement. And you will visit actual locations and higher worlds where once you have been there, you now have an access point where you can revisit them during your soul journeys as you sleep every night. So please be aware that when he takes us on a journey, he is kind of humble about this. It is not just some entertaining fantasy trip. It is a direct transmission and literally an introduction to our higher benevolent friends and higher worlds, and is specifically designed through your direct experience to waken yourself back into remembrance. For this experience, you use the gift Creator gave you, which is imagination. This took me 20 years to get over thinking imagination was fantasy. All creators, as you guys know, use imagination to create new worlds and shift worlds, which is exactly what we are doing together now. And we do that by using our positive co-creator imagination first and foremost. Bill Hicks said, quote, "We are the imagination of ourselves," end quote. Scott implied in the previous show that without creative imagination, you cannot experience direct knowing perception. And direct knowing perception is the opposite of just having belief, doubt, hope, theory, those kind of things. So, as many of you returnees to Super Soul Solutions remember, R. Scott Lemriel has directed 50 weekly TV shows called Exploring Your Spiritual Life and is known worldwide as the direct experiential-based, deliberately hidden truth-revealing researcher, author, and I add this, all-around Renaissance man. He was originally inspired to write one of his two books, both on Amazon, entitled The Seres Agenda. It's spelled S-E-R-E-S, but pronounced Seres. And it is based on the many awareness expanding events that occurred throughout Scott's lifetime and which remains ongoing. So with that very brief introduction, it leads me into welcoming you back, Scott. And I would like for you to share with our listeners your awakening process that began when you were 3 years old and then I think 5 years old and continues to this day. So welcome, Scott.
I'm glad to be here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, good. What's more important? Thank you for that very kind introduction. Gives people a lot of basic information they need to take this further. What's more important than someone on earth recovering, recalling, remembering, acquiring, experiencing who they are as a being and what they used to know before they found themselves born here with little or no memory and little use of higher faculties of direct knowing perception? What's more important than that?
Yeah, exactly. It only took me 60 years to get there.
It took me all my life, just to begin to break down some of the subconscious programming that keeps us from exploring things. Most of it's fear, more than anything else. Fear of the unknown, fear that if you leave your body, someone will catch you. And I point out to people that bring up that question, well, if you're on Earth and you don't remember who you are, how you got here, where you came from before here, then you've already been caught. So the only way for people on Earth now is up, which is fun.
Yeah. So share with them kind of, just so they get more of a sense of you, Scott, like your early experiences and then kind of how you recovered, because it's been at least a 20-year process for you of you recovering your own memories and things, hasn't it?
No, it's been much longer than that, but I suppose you could say that the advent of what I went through, I don't even share most of that with people in the world because, number one, they've got their own problems, and two, they wouldn't understand it if I did, and three, most of them wouldn't have survived what I went through. Four, most importantly, is on the other side of that, the inspiration wells up in a person, awakens to be of benefit to all life, to fellow human beings, to find some way to bridge them to have the kinds of direct experiences I've had without all that. In other words, to make it easier for others. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm talking about more like when, from my memory anyway, if I have this right, about 3 or 5, you saw the Atma for the first time and describing that kind of thing.
Well, I suppose my journey, fortunately for me, when I was about 3.5 years old, it's hard to remember exactly, somewhere in there, I was in Utah, in a little male body walking it up the steps towards a brick house we had outside of Utah and Salt Lake. And I had an experience out of nowhere of finding myself hovering above that little body, watching it walk as a fully adult, extraterrestrial, non-world-based human being who knew who he was. And I was looking up. I saw a golden, brilliant, golden, transparent sphere, like a projection. It had mathematical formulas in it and geometric equations and positions of the stars. And I looked up. It was at dusk. And I looked up, and I was floating there above the body. And I looked up, and I said, Earth, what am I doing on Earth? I knew where I was, and I couldn't figure out how I got here. You know, what was I doing here? Especially running a little child's body. So that really opened some major door for me. I never spoke about it. Later in life, I went through a quite dynamic experience living up in Washington State. This was at a time when there was a lot of UFO and extraterrestrial ships being witnessed all over the planet, especially after we started testing nuclear bombs in our own atmosphere, for crying out loud. And it was at a time when, probably 1960, I'd say, 61 maybe, when I snuck into my father's refrigerator and took a can of beer out. I was like 12 years old, and I wanted to know what it was like. So I snuck out of the house at 3 in the morning, went across the dew-laden grass and these little narrow roads up in this hugely forested area called Cherry Crest. And I was stood on the street and looked at this beautiful moonless starlit sky and popped a can of this beer. And the next thing I knew, I was on my back spread eagle with this can in my hand, unopened. I meant open, but not spilled. And I was looking at a ship about 30 feet across, pulsating from blue to white light, no sound. And I was just transfixed. I wasn't afraid. I didn't get abducted. But there was a telepathic transmission of a great deal of information that was going on between this being, a male human on that craft, and me. It went on for about 15 minutes. It was more information than I can handle at that age. And then it just pulsed faster and faster until it became a solid white light and shot up into space. I got up, looked at that beer, dumped it out, threw it in the garbage, went to bed, never told a soul. Very wise at that time, too. Never told anybody about it. Another time, about 2 weeks later, I was coming home from a choir practice. I was a good singer. I get off of this little bus, goes up a hill, drops me at a little wooden shed, several miles up a hill, then continues down the other way into the forest and vanishes. I step off the wooden platform, and my head gets pulled up, and I'm looking at two groups of triangular, in a triangular formation, of, I think there were 15 in each group of these maybe 30-foot-wide scout class, what I call scout class, ships, and they were talking to me. That same guy that was on the ship earlier was talking to me. And then they did this whole acrobatic dance of breaking apart and flying through the air and regrouping. Then they just tipped towards me as if respectfully and then shot in space. I said nothing to anyone. After that, I went on many adventures out of body, had more direct experiences with these folks, and kept it quiet. My own mother, who's 92 right now, only found out about what I was involved in when she read the manuscript for the Savior's Agenda for the first time.
That
was in 2013, maybe. It's in a fifth edition. It's taken me that long to produce this book with original artwork, proprietary, which depicts scenes and characters, real actors portrayed them for the front of the covers. And it took me that long to get them both in a 6x9 format in the form they were originally envisioned to be in. Those were both republished in 2019 in April. So...
okay,
there's a whole
the
lot
way,
of stuff
people,
that went
on. You can get
yeah.
that on Amazon.
Barnes and Noble, Amazon, iTunes. Yeah, they're all over the world, so
okay,
you can find
okay,
them.
So and then you've had ongoing contact since then, correct?
That's correct. It's ongoing to this day. Why should it be? See, the thing is, people are telepathic. They don't know that on Earth because nobody raises them from childhood to set this kind of comfort in their subconscious. By the time they're six, most people's subconsciouses are set for life. So whatever's on Earth surrounding them is kind of how they think and feel. That's for the physical body and brain they have this life. It's not who they are. never has been who they are. So since people aren't taught any of this growing up, it's generally not comfortable for them to take it comfortably that they're able to leave their body, but people do it every night. Like experts all over the world, people can put their body to sleep. They don't realize how complex a process this is because the brain doesn't put itself to sleep. The Atma, the spherical nature of our being, what people on earth call soul, causes the pineal gland in the center of the brain to secrete serotonin, which makes melatonin, which puts the body on automatic. So the heart will work, blood will circulate, lungs will breathe while you're gone. Every night, people aren't home in that body. They come back in the morning. Sometimes they bring back dreams, some clear, some distorted, depending on what they went to bed like the night before. If a person takes fear with them into the dream state, it's going to jumble up all communication they have when they're out of the body when they bring it back in the morning. If they take uplifting childlike wonder into the dream state at night, things change dramatically.
Okay. All right. So we'll get to that with the Hugh at the end of the show, but I'm going to – I have some questions, and I know you can succinctly answer them. So the first one you already discussed in previous shows, but for some that are listening this time, if you can really briefly, because it's really important to describe what the Atma actually looks like, which is Creator's Atma, and therefore us also. And then when I saw, you said that there are teardrop shapes within the different color striations, and I'm curious about what those are. So if you would just describe kind of that to people. Thank you.
Okay. Most people on Earth today, they could be atheists or they could be religiously committed to some path or another, dedicated to, you know, whoever. They don't really understand what soul is. They know they have one, but they think of themselves as a human body, a brain with a soul they've got somewhere else, tucked away somewhere, that's going to survive when their body passes away. Most people don't understand what that looks like. They think of it maybe as like an astral body, the next plane up from here, that looks human, of a higher molecular time rate, but is more luminous, but looks human, that kind of thing. That's not soul. The Atma, which the most advanced spacefaring and master teacher beings in the multiverse beyond Earth, they call it Atma, which means an atom of the source or prime creator. And it's spherical shaped. People don't, you know, when they look around, they're so busy being kept paying taxes and going to work and doing all they do, they don't have time to really contemplate and go deep within and wake this stuff up. But when they think in terms of soul, it is spherical energy that is not made of molecular matter. It's not DNA. It is not neutrons and protons and electrons or any of that stuff that makes up the atoms of different parallel dimensions in the lower dimensions of time and space. It is energy that makes us up, that is behind and supporting that whole creation. We are spherical. People, they looked out and wondered, why are worlds and earths and moons and suns round? They're round because they're patterned after their creators. We come from the source or prime creator behind all life. And as such, we are like a drop of pure water, hint, hint, from a mighty ocean of light and sound of that same water. It is one power, one energy, a living force throughout everything in all the multiverse that fills the void of space between planets and moons and suns and galaxies and other realities. And that is what people in the Large Hadron CERN Super Collider in Switzerland detected behind matter. They don't know what it is or what to do with it. They know it's not atoms. So they called it the God particle. And that's an advancement for people on Earth, okay? But it's they don't know what to do with it. We are spherical, and it has a white core, and then it has layers built through the spectrum of light. An outer layer above the white core is yellow. And it's a certain thickness, and it has little teardrop self-evulgent lights in it. Each one contains a body of ability, or a higher faculty of being, relative to the worlds above the void and to the worlds of time and space. The next layer is orange, then red, then green, then blue, lavender, violet, and a golden white light around it, which protects it when it's operating in the lower dimensions. We are spherical. It's absolutely beautiful. As you know what that is because I've sent you a proprietary image that was originally created as artwork for the front covers of the recently republished books. And it actually shows what the Atma or soul looks like, what it's structured like. That's going to be very valuable for people to be able to see that on Earth and remember, because something happened to the people that live on this planet now before they were born here that caused them to forget all about that.
I know, Scott.
Scott,
I don't want to get into that part yet. I'm going to leave that for another time because I just want to keep this about the vision of the soul and then some of the questions about the soul's abilities, if I could.
That's
fine.
Yeah, so we're just describing what the Atma looks like and what it is.
So it's the core, and then it has orange layer, yellow layer, green layer, blue layer, indigo, violet, and completely surrounded by a golden aura, correct?
Golden white light,
And the core is white light.
And it's kind of a very bright white with a golden tinge to it. And it's the same energy as what fills the void of space, which is not a void. People on Earth know that what they used to call dark matter is not dark at all. It only appears black to human eyes that can't see high enough into that frequency. It's packed with energy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all relative to the Atma itself.
All right. And then the picture that Scott sent, it's really worth even – I love the books, but it's worth buying the book so you can see this on the cover of his
The Emerald
Doorway book.
Right.
And – so these little teardrops, just for you folks, have nothing to do with sadness. When you think of like teardrop shape, think of more as like a water drop. And so could you give me just quickly examples or of skills or abilities that are in those different layers?
Let's pick the highest one that a person has at the white core of their being. Okay. It's an innate indwelling ability that allows them to telepathically connect to that one energy that is living, that supports the entire creation behind matter. And that one energy is a vibrant sound. There's a first sound behind creation that is like a failsafe, has been there since the beginning. Human beings from the white core of their being have the ability to telepathically connect into it. And then you have the advantage of connecting into that one source pool. You can explore and discover anything you wish to know, given time and diligent practice, that's out in the multiverse. And all Atmas are capable of knowing what the source or prime creator is, what their purpose is with it, which is not, by the way, to worship it as most people think, because the source itself, beyond what some esoteric groups call the void, never required that we worship it, but that we respect it and each other and all life in the grand multidimensional creation. That's all we really need to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's good to know. Now, in the core you were talking about of the white light core, what would be, I'm not sure the word to use, the quality or the feeling? Is it like unbiased serenity as well as the sound? Is there like a feeling that exists there as well?
The highest faculty of being is what I call, and many others out in the universe call, direct knowing perception or direct knowing certainty. The Atma can know this. The human being in a brain on Earth, it's almost impossible. So a person needs to recover what they are that's running that body in order to recover direct knowing perception. And that comes from linking into the source from whence we come as a direct experience through a vibratory sound that allows them to connect with it. It's an energy connection between the source behind all life and each individual that is not of a negative or positive nature, the dual nature of the currents that run the four lower dimensions of time and space. It is a pure connection that cannot be interfered with by beings in or out of bodies or any misuse of technology. It's a certain kind of protection that goes along with its use.
Mm. That's good to know. You know, nowadays, just to feel that kind of certainty. So there's also, too, I remember you shared with me, the sound of creator source in the higher worlds, beyond the void, like you said. There's a sound that to the conscious awareness of the individual Atma soul hears, I guess, when it travels there, correct?
That's correct.
And is that sound what you're sharing, or is the sound also what you had spoken of in other shows of like the flute music with, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's all a manifestation out of the primary sound, primordial sound. The first half of the word human, by the way, language was not created on this earth. First thing I need to tell people, or they're going to be stuck in circles trying to find the answers to the sources of life on a planet where it does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to understand what this sound is, think of it hidden in plain sight. The word human, you man, you woman, you child, is a first half of a word that actually creates a sound frequency, a vibration. When it's sung out loud or even imagined silently, it will open a doorway through the pineal gland in the center of the brain and connect a person into that source energy that runs throughout the multiverse, through all the dimensions. And then when that happens and it crosses their path and they cross paths with it of true free will, their whole life begins to go in a whole other direction.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like, I can say it for you right now, we'll do it later, but it's just you, very round hole tone, not om
right.
or anything like that. It's a round hole pure tone that vibrates the center white core of the Atma, you, and then triggers the pineal gland to open a certain door so that you can bring information the brain and body's never had growing up here, from your journeys out of body every night and bring it back here and start to enlighten this form here.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that process works.
Okay.
And it sounds, in the upper worlds, we'll get into what those are. I know that's one of your questions, so I'll wait till you ask it. But
in
the I want to answer a previous question, which, what does it sound like to hear the source itself when
yes.
you're there as a spherical being among so many others, circling around the center like a big galaxy?
Yeah, that would be
it
cool.
It sounds like millions of men and women's voices with perfect vocal cords singing the hue on multiple dimensional levels until it becomes so overwhelmingly uplifting it blends into one round whole vibrating tone. And it has a corresponding white golden light to it.
Mm-hmm.
That answers that question.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm just throwing in here, thank you, Scott, I'm just throwing in here, for those of you that have researched the sound of hue, there's a group called Ekankar that uses it, but according to Scott, it originally came from Creator off-world. No one owns it. There's no copyright to it. So there's no direct connection to Ekankar or anything else. It is the first primordial sound that comes forth from Creator, as I understand it, to create the multiverse. Is that correct, Scott?
That's correct. No person on Earth ever invented the hue. It's the first half of the word human. No.
Yeah.
There are different groups that promote this in the world, and you can join them. You can do whatever you want with them. I'm not a member of any of them. I'm not a member of any political, metaphysical, psychic, spiritual, mystical group whatsoever. So I'm not promoting any of that. But the hue itself originates in the source. Comes down through the different dimensions, out into the worlds, out to the billions of galaxies, to Earth, and is actually behind and keeping everything alive, turning worlds, illuminating suns. It's behind all that, behind it, supporting it.
Mm. Okay, that is great. Okay, my next question to me was one of the most amazing when you gave me the answer for one of this. This is going to be really exciting for people. Say hi to your cat, Starlight. I can hear him.
You did come in and put your 2 cents in, didn't you?
Tell him hi. Anyway, okay, so you're going to have to kind of, what I would like is I would like you to explain what each of our subtle energetic bodies, astral, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, mm-hmm. above the physical universe, but as you would say, below the void,
right.
how long each of those bodies lives, which blew me away, mm-hmm. on each of the major divisions or dimensions, and what mm-hmm. happens when each of those bodies specifically, take one by one, ceases to function. That was like amazing information.
Okay.
I want to share with the audience, okay?
Let me lay this out for people because some people will have found this out maybe through some groups or something, but having information and data does not give the individual the experience of knowing it. Huge difference between believing something, being told by some outer authority to believe this way or that way, and you having direct knowing about whatever that is for yourself. Faith in any form, if it's effective, should leap into at some point direct knowing, awareness, and experience. So we have the physical body made of, on Earth, DNA made of genomes, over a billion, mapped out by supercomputers, that determine your hair, your sight, your color, all these different faculties, including when you'll die and how. Those are switches run by precise frequencies. So more advanced world systems and beings have mastered this DNA and the frequencies involved so they can grow another limb, make the body immortalized, live 1,000 years or more as they do on many other worlds out in space, minimum of 1,000 for most human races. The ones on Earth, the genomes have been tampered with long ago in a history people don't know about, so they're passed on genetically with certain ones shut off. People on Earth used to think that was junk DNA. Now they know even on Earth that it's not. It's just turned off, and they're struggling to find ways to turn it on. So we have the physical body on Earth vibrating at a certain molecular time-weight frequency, same as the planets you see in space, the moon, stars. In the physical galaxy, you can see through astronomical and radio telescopes, they vibrate at the same molecular time rate, so we can perceive them. When you go to what's called a higher parallel dimension, the vibration of molecules making that reality, still in the physical universe, vibrates at a slightly faster molecular time rate. There's 144 parallel dimensions in the physical universe alone before you cross a barrier that leaps into what's called the astral plane. It's a next heaven up, so to speak. All emotion comes from there. Things and planets and people and things, yes, move things around through feeling, unlike on Earth where you have to push stuff around. The body's there.
Are you saying that the astral body is where our feelings source from?
That's correct.
For the physical body? Oh,
that's correct.
Okay.
So you grow up a brain and a body, it becomes a mature adult, and you start bringing in this more mature, wise nature you're supposed to. That's coming from another reality where you have a body. You're running as a single spherical atma on other planes at the same time. People don't remember this on Earth. It's what they call their higher selves. They always say, my higher self is helping me this way and that way. But for the most part, that's not necessarily true. Because those bodies, people are running in those planes, have a dual energy, positive and negative, running through them. It splits off from the void, what is known as the void in certain esoteric groups. And it creates good and bad, positive and negative, and people get caught up in that. So we have a body on the astral plane that lives considerably longer and has higher abilities energetically than physical body. But it's not free. The next plane up is called the causal. Everything's moved from cause and effect.
Can I interrupt you here real quick? Because we're going to have So basically, we've got the physical, and that runs, this reality as we know it, survival, et cetera. And it's been programmed for the 100 years rather than the 1,000 years minimum, which we could do.
Right.
And we receive emotions from the astral body, the next subtle body up that is, vibrating at a higher frequency. And it has a lifetime, this is what shocked me, of around 1,500 years, correct?
And it could be longer than that. That's the astral body. Let's keep apples and oranges.
Right.
You have races out among the stars in the Milky Way that live 1,000 to 10,000 years or more, human.
Right.
Because of their more advanced consciousness and technology, particularly mastering the DNA and genomes. Okay. Astral body, which is another dimension with another 144 parallel dimensions in it, special number. And it's made of a finer matter. The two aren't connected directly. You don't take ships between them. Then you have another dimension up called the causal. And then the mental plane, where all mental abilities come from, where matter and things are moved through thought instantly. Above that is an etheric level, which is like a kind of a protective barrier between the void and those higher realities above the void. Some people refer to it as the subconscious, but when you're in that body, in that plane, made of light, more transparent, it's very conscious of where it is. And then you have what's called the void that's known to certain esoteric groups on Earth, which is when people go there, they don't find anything in it but kind of a pale blue light. But there's a lot there. They just not how trained how to see it or perceive it. So some groups will say, the void is it, you can't go higher. This is absolutely not correct. Because above that void, which is a barrier, are higher realms made of what's called a pure positive energy. And up there,
and
you cannot
the
bring any...
Is.
Right, that's
right.
Where we come from originally, to run bodies in the lower dimensions of time and space. Energy, you can't bring any negative nature there of any kind or negative imagination. It will not cross the void, no matter what you do. So getting aware of what we are as the Atma and moving it freely through these planes to recover who we are ends up resulting in one thing, finding out that we are meant to be consciously trustworthy co-creators with the source or prime creator behind all life itself. Not its pawn, not its victim, not its tool, a co-creator with it. And we're meant to bring back to that source after a long sojourn new ways of doing things, insights we've learned from lifetimes to help solve the bigger problems of creation, like how do we make the lower dimensions of time and space mirrors of the upper worlds that's beyond the void? We still have not succeeded in that one.
That's profound. And wasn't that kind of, or at least whatever we want to call it, the original oath or vow or mutual agreement between Creator and us as co-creators?
That's correct.
Do you want to share
think
that,
of it,
vow, that?
Yeah, think of it this
people?
Way. Imagine this. You are a spherical being. Collectively together, all the spherical beings running all the bodies and all the planets in all of the multi-dimensions connect to a source like a nexus. And there's a presence at that source. It's not a being on a throne ordering people about. But you can speak with it. I mean, it's you can respect it, and it respects you, and we respect all life. It's a place where all beings are connected in a pure way and still are to this day. So that when we return from a long sojourn, we become, in a sense, masters of our own creative imagination. What do I mean by that? Whatever we imagine, good or bad, fear or childlike wonder, it goes out to this omnipresent force, this one sound inner to the hue, people call divine spirit. They don't really understand how it works. It's not really meant to be prayed to ask for things. We're meant to imagine to it what we want it to create and bring into reality for us, because its function is to be a co-creator with us. It's unbiased.
Exactly.
It will co-create whatever you imagine. If we're lost in feeling fear of the present and the future and wanting good life for our family, it's going to create both for you.
Mm.
That's a problem.
Kind of almost like a mirror in a certain way. Just
right.
That.
Some
now,
people, yeah.
Now, and that is a really important point. Now, I want to go back just for a second, because the one thing you shared with me, which just blew me away, I want to share with the audience, is each successive subtle body supposedly has a programmed kind of range of how long it survives, which completely was weird for me because I just thought it was goes on forever, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And then you said when the astral body dies, whenever that is, 1500, 2000, whatever, one of the symptoms we get is dementia.
Well,
right?
Let's put it this way. No, not everybody gets that, because the astral body lives much longer in terms of lifespan than a physical body. So your body, you could have several bodies come and go and still have the same astral body working and channeling through to both of them. It's still
there.
Oh,
that was another question. Do we keep the same energetic bodies when we
Well, not necessarily. If you are very advanced and you're in the astral plane creating things through emotion, and it's like kind of heavenly but not very high heavenly, and you decide that body, and it gets old enough, and it wears out, and you want to move on, pardon me, to another form, then you can let that body pass away and turn to dust and either mock up or get into or run another one, just like you do on Earth. If the astral body passes away of old age, and you're still, say, 50 on Earth, the link between the astral and the higher worlds to the physical through the pineal gland is severed. So the purpose becomes like... they don't remember their name. They don't remember anything.
Wow.
Very soon after that, the body atrophies and dies.
Wait. Wouldn't they remember their mental this is me, their mental body is still operating. That's where thoughts come from. Wouldn't it just
right.
be affecting the feeling nature?
No.
With the astral body dying?
No, because the link passes down from what you are still in the source. Part of you never left, Merrily. You never left there, part of
right.
you.
Right.
The other parts, it's like you can have a spherical aspect of yourself at the source, one in the etheric, one in the mental, one in the causal, one etheric, and one up above your body here in the physical plane, all operating simultaneously, keeping them all running and breathing and running. A fully conscious being does this with those forms on those different planes like physical, astral, causal, mental, etheric. And those forms are completely aware and awake of each other and helping you down here. Now, that's a huge distance away from just believing your higher self's helping you without really knowing
mm-hmm.
it. See, so we want to get people into direct experience.
Yeah, and we're gonna move through so that you can instruct the hue again sound.
Mm-hmm.
But one
mm-hmm.
more question. So having to do with what you just said, what does knowing certainty feel like when we really know it ourselves?
Okay.
We're going through...
Is there anything you know for certain? When you drink a bottle of water, you know you're drinking that water, right? You can
right.
prove it to yourself because you're doing it, you feel it, you're experiencing, you're swallowing it, it has a taste, you're smiling, you can smell the air, you can see the sun. That's knowing.
Mm-hmm.
When the Atma knows something about the nature of itself, its true nature, and the nature of the multidimensional creation out there, and all the vast assortment of beings that live in it, which we're supposed to be doing, then it has a certainty about that knowing. It can't be shaken from it. It's an inner core, white core of the Atman, knowing certainty. When that wakes up, even through a physical form like a brain and body on Earth, that body begins to take on the characteristics of knowing. Instead of doubt,
wow,
fear,
okay,
truth.
And so that's really the whole raison d'etre, so to speak, of you coming forward on Earth and teaching direct experience through utilizing
right.
this new, I mean, as far as I know, you're the only one that's presented the primordial sound use and the hue. So you're saying, if I have this right, is that direct experience through utilizing the primordial sound assists us with knowing certainty of soul travel,
recovering,
knowing certainty of soul travels and being an Atma, and our knowingness as an Atma, and then that, of course, which is my interest, allows us, if I'm right, to turn on our suppressed or dormant multiple higher faculties of our beingness down here
right.
in the body. Is that true?
You don't know. The higher faculties of being are not in the body. Here's another
Never.
Thing. No.
Oh, they're in
the
field.
Okay,
yeah.
Wait a minute. The brain and that you have, which is fully developed, on Earth,
mm-hmm.
certain scientists and people will tell you we use 6 to 10% of a fully developed brain. That makes no sense, does it? No.
No, never did.
Because people aren't trained or brought up to use
yeah.
more of it. They just don't access it. If 100% of the brain is turned on.
Nature never makes anything she doesn't use. Nature always,
well,
you know what I
yeah,
mean?
But,
it doesn't make sense.
But the creative imagination, the limits of the understanding of it, limit what you can use through that brain. It limits what the Atma can bring through the consciousness of that brain to this life. So, because it's reciprocal.
Repeat that again.
Remember,
repeat that again. Repeat
the,
that again.
The omnipresent living energy behind all life, people call divine spirit, is a co-creator with us. Not
yes.
the body and brain, the Atma running it, the soul.
Yes.
And I don't call it soul travel. That's a copyrighted patent turned by another group. I call it Atma travel or out-of-body travel.
Okay.
Just because I want to keep it cleaner and freer of an affiliation with anything down here.
Right. Okay.
We want to get off. When I take people on journeys above the earth, they get their bodies in the sleep state just like they do every night. But because of the nature of how I work with it telepathically with friends from out of town, from off-world, we get them to go above the planet outside the negative compacted atmosphere of the planet to start
okay.
their journey because in space, in what people call the void, it is a powerful packed energy between the Earth, the Moon, the Sun, the stars, the galaxies, supporting everything, and it cannot and does not record or hold any mental thought frameworks or imagination or emotion or anything like that. You can't take those with you outside of the Earth, out of body, as the Atma. They get left turned off with the body back on Earth.
That's fascinating, because I was always concerned if they're completely erased, if you still have some of it, you know, how that all works. So that's interesting.
Well, no, you still have to master your own creative imagination in eternity. So
that's really the key, the creative imagination.
It is.
I want to move you into the important part of the hewing and doing that. But first, I just really quickly, because I know you can define this in a sentence, is the primordial use, as I understand it, of the telepathic sound you're going to teach the hue.
Yeah.
Can you first define, right before you do this, the difference for people between true telepathy, like the hue, and psychic perceptions? I think that's important.
It's very important. Psychic ability, seeing, precognition, telekinesis, you have an intuition and all that. That's all works with the positive and negative dual streams that split off the one current, the hue, just below the void, to create and maintain the lower worlds. That's how it was designed originally. We were never meant to have the negative and positive streams run through us as a being, but that's what happens. That's what's happened to beings. Not just here on the physical earth, in the astral, causal, mental, etheric. There's beings living there in the etheric plane that live millions of years in one form and still don't have any desire to go across the void and go home. This is a problem for creation, because it stultifies or traps or puts on hold the entire multidimensional creation. It's not moving forward.
So is the goal of the Atma, now this is just simple language here, to retrieve all the different bodies and projections, so to speak, and aspects of itself back to itself? And
well, let me finish first.
Okay.
Before I go there, I need to answer this question.
Okay,
I've forgotten it. Pure telepathy is not psychic. I'm not putting down psychics or psychic things, but because they work with a dual current in the four lower dimensions, etheric, mental, causal, astral, and physical, 144 parallel dimensions in each one, it's just huge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's even bigger above the void, so let's put that aside. Until a person, when they connect through the white core of their being to the omnipresent, what they call divine spirit, directly, the right way, through the proper utilization of the creative imagination, the highest faculty of the Atma, you're basically going out conscious without negative influence and creating with this one omnipresent living sound what you want it to bring into your life, whether it's entrapment or freedom. Staying here, trapped, going in bodies, or going home. It only responds to what we put into it. So, psychic energies work with the positive and negative in the lower planes only. And they're unreliable because they swing from one pendulum to another, from positive to negative, like on a wave, a carrier wave.
It's
so
like
we want to go into
a wave rather than a singular wave.
You could be on the up node of a wave or the down node, and then up and then down. That's why predicting this way doesn't work. Because to really predict events, which I wouldn't do if I knew them, and I'll tell you why later, one has to connect in through telepathically into the pure energy that supports all life that is not of a positive and negative nature and never has been. Then you have access to the entire wisdom pool of the one power that supports and maintains and brings into manifestation whatever we imagine into it in the lower worlds.
Right. And that's why the importance of beneficial thoughts. Okay, look, we literally have like 5 minutes left for the show. So I want you to have at least 3 or 4 minutes to do your hue, teach him the scales and what it sounds like.
Sure. Here's what I'm going to do, because we're not doing a guided out-of-body kind of thing now. Consider that what I'm doing with all of you is a normal, pure telepathic function. Doesn't matter about the phone or the radio station and all that. It's connecting to every single person listening through the pure white core at the center of their being, the Atma, not the brain that runs that body. And I do these tones, and I take them up in pitch because it helps their body go into the trance state called sleep, the astral body, causal, mental, and etheric bodies all simultaneously, wherever they're living, will sit down or lay down and go to sleep. So the round spherical atom of the real soul, us, can go on these journeys and recover. So I'll do these tones to give people an example of what I do at the beginning before I start one of these guided journeys and why. I'll begin that now. You
okay. That's beautiful. All right, so we're on our last couple minutes here, and we have to start, so I'm going to finish up. Thank you so much, Scott, and I'm going to, Scott, you want to just quickly give your website and your two books?
Okay.
So they can get on Amazon.
Sure. ParallelTime.com, just like the two words are spelled together, P-A-R-A-L-E. ParallelTime.com. Self-explanatory. There's videos there you can watch. They're free. Both books, if you click on the book link, will show you the front and back covers. Those are real actors were hired to portray those characters for that original art was created for those covers. They can see them there. And that's the Sayre's Agenda. That's about what's happening out in space among about people off-world and what they're doing about this planet. And the Emerald Doorway, book one of the Parallel Time Trilogy, which is about what happened 100,000 years ago prior to the last polar shift involving extraterrestrials and how that brings us into present time.
All right. Thank you so much, Scott. And I just want to also say that Scott will be back in a month for a long journey where everyone will experience because when utilizing the vibrational frequency hue, the center of your core where your consciousness resides, vibrate with the hue sound in a way that begins to line it up with its original source and its original mission to co-create with source for the benefit of all that exists. So, and also in 2 weeks, I'm going to have a very unusual guest named Peter Moon, who's a time travel expert, and I'm going to share with you the most amazing archaeological study, including the real Hollow records and much more that proves the ET connection and other things. So please tune in 2 weeks, and thanks so much, everybody. Okay, and thank you, Scott. Blessings to you.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.